Morning, guys. Thanks for tuning into The Vanishing Point. Wow, been off for a long Easter break and kind of dying to dive back into all things narrative and theme. It's interesting. I'm part of a couple of different Facebook writers groups, and I highly recommend it because it's really interesting in terms of diverse opinions and angles and viewpoints that you may not have considered. I certainly enjoy it because I get the vantage point of perspectives that prevent myopia, so I can really kind of see how other people are examining the same kind of issue. It's interesting to me that a lot of times we sort of shy away from debate. Well, actually, the nature of debate, especially online, has changed considerably. It's become sort of a zero-sum intellectual game where, you know, people need to win an argument. And the one thing I love, the beauty of dealing with creative questions, especially those centered around narrative, is it's still very much a diverse and open topic. I mean, obviously there are sort of ideas on structure and flow and things like that and philosophy that have survived the ages. But the nuance of individual voice is as diverse as our population. So I find it a wonderful celebration of humanity. So there were a few interesting sort of discussions on theme. And I think these were triggered by, I believe Benioff made a statement in terms of talking about writing for Game of Thrones, saying that they don't necessarily bother with theme because theme is sort of a grade school concept. It was refreshing to see that even in the face of financial and critical success, a statement like that can still be challenged adequately, I think. And the reason why, I'm not entirely sure if Benioff's statement may have been taken out of context. Oftentimes I like to see a full transcript of something rather than the soundbite. But obviously I'm in the camp that disagrees with that particular notion, because I think, you know, theme is what creates an enormous amount of power in narrative. And I think that the Game of Thrones writing team is probably leaning quite heavily on some of the groundwork laid out by George Martin in terms of the novelization, which in the due course of creating those novelizations, I'm sure there were volumes and volumes that were written and discarded exploring themes. So it was an interesting discussion. I think part of the issue is, though, is that we consider theme as an all-encompassing sort of entity when it's not. I think there are hierarchies of themes. I think there are various flavors of theme. So basically, you know, there are the broad generalized statement. These are probably are what evoke the grade school comparison, the whole love conquers all, war is evil, that kind of stuff. And I think if you're talking about theme at that particular level, you're missing the salient point of the operational parameters of theme. What is it that's so important and so relevant about theme? Theme is not an afterthought. You don't sort of identify it as a current in your story and go, oh yeah, that's what my story is about. I think theme is intrinsically tied with a personal experience and a journey. This is what causes it to resonate with audiences. So one of the things that I posted in sort of response is that when it comes to kind of considerations of theme, because the central argument seemed to be, do you bother thinking about theme at all? And one of the things that a lot of writers sort of prefer is instinctive writing. It feels more real, it feels more organic, it feels more in tune with your own nature, and it feels like a much more personal, emotional experience. And I get that. I understand that. that is definitely one particular sort of avenue of attack for writers. Me, I'm much more of a careful planner. I'm not saying that one particular technique trumps another. It's just on that journey to finding my story and ultimately my theme, maybe I take a longer route on the map. There are people who like to take shortcuts. There are people who like to meander. But ultimately, we all end up in the same destination. You know? So, I think one of the things that I said, and I kind of firmly believe it, is I don't do the full frontal assault on theme. Right? Nor do I ignore theme and hope that theme will go away or just magically present itself, which is known to happen. I'm a little bit more of a, I like to sneak attack theme, come up on it unexpectedly. And there are a few stages that I follow in terms of how I achieve that. So, first of all, I always, at the outset of designing a story, I always ask myself, how is the story personal to me? What sort of personal, emotional investment do I have in this particular story? Does it sort of, you know, reflect some sort of core wound or some sort of, perhaps a deep-seated psychological something that I'm carrying with me? Maybe. One of the things that I love about the whole writing process is the opportunity to explore my own inner emotions. So there's a little bit of that. Then I move to the next stage, which is to ask myself, is there something that I've learned that I can pass on? Is there some sort of intuition about life or some sort of experience that I found value in my sort of experiences? And is it something that I wish to pass on? So there's that two kind of steps that are sort of very, very personal in terms of their exploration. And then thirdly, I start to wonder, what is the applicability of these life lessons and these personal journeys to the socio-political structure outside of my own personal context, this stuff that we call life? And does it have a particular resonance? Well, that's sort of a tough one. I don't think you can sort of confidently analyze your ideas in terms of societal resonance, but you can kind of hypothesize, guess, and, you know, intuit that a message you have may possibly, quite possibly, ring true with a number of people. So there's that investigation. Possibly the hardest step in the process of evolving the theme. And then finally, the fourth step, the final step, is to ask myself, what does it all mean? Right? And these are sort of more philosophical questions. And they're even more difficult than the prior stage, even though I just said the third stage was probably the most difficult. But understanding how your views on life and how they affect people in the broader context and how your moral ideas fit in the pantheon of literature trying to define the human condition, who knows, right? Who knows? But it is an incredibly lofty goal, and the voices of history can come from anywhere, from anyone. So, in that regard, it's worth it to me to explore these things to the max. So how do I get to what does it all mean? Well, I take it from the viewpoint of human suffering and trying to not only define what that is, but to understand, and not just to understand the reasons for it, but to also see if there is a salve that can be offered somewhere within my story to kind of help me, first of all, and then ultimately us, sort of take a look at that suffering and find a way of incorporating that into our lives, solving it, getting around it, just sort of dealing with it. And I think that's ultimately the wonderful thing about narrative, is it gives us that viewpoint, that almost that sort of safe seat in the clouds, where we can look down upon our problems and understand them more fully. You know, I don't know if that makes sense. So yeah, those are the stages I generally take a look at when trying to maybe not define my theme, because your theme is always running within your story, but it's always blurry and slightly out of focus. So my process is an attempt to put the appropriate lens on my writer's camera so that I can bring that theme more clearly into focus. Why even bother with a theme that has sort of elevated ramification, philosophical ramification? Who cares about society? Who cares about, you know, how do you appeal to an audience? You know, why does that all matter? Right? Because writing is a personal journey. Well, again, that comes back to what I believe is a hierarchy of themes. You know, you can write a romantic comedy about a love triangle, and, you know, the themes that you may explore, you might have that simple romantic comedy have societal ramifications. That's wonderful. You know, wonderfully deep and moving experience. Love Actually sort of comes to mind. I'd have to sit down and think that through, but I do think, because of the opening scene at the airport, I think Love Actually was trying to find a broader context than simply interpersonal relationships for their sort of journey of theme. And I believe that because of that, amongst many, many other reasons, that kind of contributes to the success and longevity of Love Actually. You know, it was dealing with a lot of complex kind of themes. So you can explore elevated concepts in very, very simple ideas. Or you can keep the simple ideas with sort of simpler themes that are lower down on the hierarchy. You can deal with incredibly complex issues of theme. So, for example, if we take, you know, what I just said about the themes of Love Actually and compare it to, you know, the film school holy grail of Citizen Kane. Dun, 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 and the themes explored in Citizen Kane. There's no way you could compare the two, really. Right? But one thing we can mutually agree upon is that both stories have a carefully constructed theme. So, I think one of the reasons why I talk through my process is because, for me personally, I find enjoyment in exploring those larger, more complex themes with larger ramifications. It doesn't matter the framework of my story. You know, I can have a simple character. You know, for example, I have a character who's in love with racing, driving cars. She's in love with speed. Now, what I want to do is I want to figure out if her love of speed is saying something about me, is saying something about life and society. So to get there, I need to find out what her personal reasons are for loving speed. And in there, perhaps I can find something. So for example, she's an orphan and she feels like her father left because of some failing on her part, which is a common thing that kids go through in a separated marriage. And perhaps her love of speed is her hope that if she can go fast enough, one day she can catch up with her father. This is what I'm talking about. These are the kinds of themes that I like to explore and sort of dig deep into and see if there's a larger meaning that we can explore on the page. So there we go. One of the things that I do wish to explore and incorporate in a lot of these podcasts is discussions related to classical thinking in terms of storytelling and theme. So one of the things that I have on my passenger seat here, riding shotgun with me to work, is Aristotle's paper, which I'd like to take a look at. And it is his treatise on poetics. And there's a lot of kind of very, very difficult concepts to unwrap in his paper. But one of the things that I want to take a look at is just how much of that thinking is relevant today. And it's always kind of interesting to look at the history and the evolution of myth and poetry and creative arts. So just a brief sort of introduction to Aristotle's Poetics today. The first couple of pages really sort of discusses the function of the creative arts in terms of poetry, writing, music, and at the time, all of it was sort of intertwined. I think those guys back in the day were more fans of musical theater than we are today. My apologies to those musical theater fanatics out there. I think one of the things that Aristotle identifies is the broad principle of art imitating life. All forms of music, dance, theater, poetry, it's just imitation. It's an imitation of life and life's experiences. And I found that quite an interesting observation. So I'm going to dig a little bit deeper into Aristotle in the podcasts to come. But it's just something that I'd like to leave you guys with, is this idea that what we're doing is imitating life. And in that regard, I think that's why explorations of theme are quite relevant. Because in imitating life, replicating life, inside a creative scope, that's me reversing, guys. Inside of a creative scope, we get the opportunity as creatives to change up the conclusions or the solutions. And so that for me is a wonderful thing to explore. Okay, thanks a lot for coming with me on my car ride, and I will talk to you guys later. Cheers.